for the rare allure about him.
Now on. So sorry about that. We welcome everyone to the Parks and Recreation Commission meeting on Wednesday, October 2nd. And we would like to, I would like to start off by just recognizing the wonderful work of staff here at today's multi-purpose field opening. It was a great event. It was well attended, and it was just a wonderful sight to see for everyone who lives in the city of Goleta and for the children who grow up attending the Boys and Girls Club in Goleta. It was a wonderful thing. So thank you all for all the hard work you did. It was just a splendid afternoon. And without saying anything else, how about we call to order the meeting and the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're going to proceed to the roll call of Parks and Recreation Commission.
Commissioner Kelly?
Here.
Commissioner Williams?
Here.
Commissioner Rescotti?
Here.
Commissioner Ramos?
Here.
Commissioner Peterson?
Here.
Vice Chair Rodriguez?
Here.
And Chair West?
Here. All right. Do we have any comments for the public forum?
There is no public forum.
Okay, then we will move to A, presentation A1, the Goleta Community Emergency Response Team CERT. We have a presentation, and you know right here it says Joanne Plummer's going to be giving it, and you don't look a thing like Joanne Plummer, so welcome.
Last time I checked, I was not Joanne Plummer.
Why don't you introduce yourself to everyone, please?
Hello, and good evening, Parks and Rec Commission. My name is Michael Barris. I am the Emergency Services Coordinator for the City of Goleta out of the Neighborhood Services and Public Safety Department. And are there any other words you would like to say, or should I just jump right in?
Please, we welcome you. Just jump right in.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time once again. Like I said, my name is Michael. I have been here for just over a year now, and I'm here to talk to you about the Community Emergency Response Team, also called CERT. I am the program manager for CERT here in Goleta, and overall just want to tell you about this organization that trains, educates, empowers, and overall is a way to interact with the community and overall strengthen community resilience in times of disaster. So that's wildfires, that's floods, that's the recent power outages that face our community today. And the CERT Corps is both a training program to both train people in the community that want to do more about emergency preparedness, and if they would like to take it a step further, they can actually join our team of volunteers that would be activated in a disaster and be a part of the response. So the CERT program overall is about a 20 to 24 hour teaching program. I usually like to say that it's about 2 months of Mondays. We hold them here in the city for free, usually at the Goleta Valley Community Center. But we also go out to local businesses as well and can teach the program there if needed. And we teach just a wide variety of different things, as you can see on the screen. How many of you have actually, and before me, before I joined CERT, actually back in St. Louis, Missouri, I had never used a fire extinguisher before. I had no idea what the word triage meant. I was being taught now how to provide search and rescue services to my neighbors and my colleagues. And so this was really a brand new experience for me at the time, and it's really exciting to now be a program manager here. And so, yeah, it is a national program. CERT is not specific to Goleta. It is a national program, and we do as well have other other programs within the countywide area that we get along with beautifully. There is Santa Barbara City CERT, Carpinteria, Santa Maria, Lompoc as well. We are all over the county, and we have a really great relationship that I'm actually going to talk to you a little bit more about later. But one thing I want to stress as well is, who can be a part of CERT? Are we looking for, you know, strong firemen looking characters, or are we who do we want to recruit for this program? And the answer is anyone. There is always a place for someone to help in the response in an emergency. It could be that we need someone to fill sandbags, but also we really do need people to answer phones and provide information at a call center. And we can provide all of that training. So you can go through, again, that two months of Monday's course, and you can decide, hey, I'm just going to go back to my friends and family. I'm going to improve my immediate community. Or again, you can choose to be a part of the greater volunteer team. And we have all of these opportunities to actually further your knowledge, even past the basic course. So we really do stress that anyone can join CERT, and we welcome all peoples. And we also have some really great programs. So there is actually a Spanish CERT, a course led all in Spanish that we have through our collaboration countywide. We have Teen CERT. The last one was actually with out in Isla Vista. And excuse me that I can't remember the name right now. That St. George Youth Center, I believe that is correct. Thank you. I appreciate that nod. And so we just had a collaboration with UCSB. And so again, stressing that anyone is invited. And then on top of it, for businesses or housing communities, schools, we can do CERT anywhere. It's very flexible that way. Also, a quick shout out to the photo right there. I'm also talking a lot about accomplishments of things that happened before I was here. Again, a very big shout out to all the people involved in Goleta CERT before I started last October. But one thing to really point out is, Train the Trainer is a course for CERT, and it is for, again, the people who train, even the instructors themselves. And the first Spanish language Train the Trainer was held in Goleta back in 2014. So Goleta has a really great reputation, actually, of being forward in the CERT community, even at the national level. So what, again, does kind of CERT do? And I did kind of go over this already a little bit, but just one more time. We do activate in times of disaster. That would be led by me at this current moment, but that would also be the activation of the city manager. So there is a chain of command that is established, and a chain of command that you can actually learn in the CERT course. Highly recommend it. So you can actually be a part of the CERT response if you so choose and you would like to. As well, we do a lot of community engagement. So we advocate for disaster preparedness at just about pretty much anything that we can get invited to. Maybe that's the Lemon Festival that happened this past weekend. We were just out there at the new park opening. We've been invited to safety fairs, even outside over in the Isla Vista community. So we really are all over the place. But that's, again, another way that someone can be involved. It doesn't always have to be this high intensity response. And then the last thing I just want to mention, it's really great for neighborhood preparedness and just gives you the skills. If you know that maybe there is a medically fragile person or an elderly in your neighborhood, this really will give you the skills to be confident that you can go out and check on that person, maybe in a power outage. Just being a good neighbor, we really do stress that. So these are the quick numbers just to tell you where the Goleta CERT program is. So I can tell you right now that over 370 people have graduated from the Goleta CERT program since its inception. And through all those 370, we do have about a core group of, it kind of fluctuates between 15 and 35 that really respond consistently. So again, join that core group if you want, or just come learn. All are welcome. We have had this year in 2019 over 20 opportunities for sort of further training and education. So those are advanced trainings. We have as a collaboration countywide that there has been an academy where you can learn how to plan a drill. You can learn how to learn about psychological first aid after a disaster. We provide a lot of opportunities for our graduates to further their knowledge. And then as well, kind of why our response is important is I go back to especially the Thomas fire that has affected all of us in one way or another. And the Goleta CERT program provided over 1,000 hours of volunteer service in response to the Thomas fire and 1-9 debris flow. So we really do good work. I'm really trying to stress that this isn't just sort of, you know, we don't just exist. We do things. We're out there in the community and we document that. We want to be out there. So those are just the quick numbers to know about us. And the last thing before kind of going into some questions and if you have anything for me, is I want to do a selfish plug. And here's another way that CERTs get involved. So every year there is a countywide CERT drill that is hosted by one of the agencies, one of the jurisdictions within Santa Barbara County. And this year it is Goleta. So we are planning a large scale drill right here in our city. It's going to be at the Future Train Depot over on close to the airport and that Amtrak station right there. And we're practicing with our CERTs of train derailment. These are like real scenarios that could happen. It sounds intense, but this is something where it should be a good thing that people have practiced this. So I really invite any and all in the community, and then as well you, the Parks and Rec Commission, to please attend. And there are multiple ways to attend. If you are a CERT graduate and you're watching this wherever you are welcome to attend the drill. And there is a link right there on the bottom, CERT Exercise 2019. And you can sign up there to participate, practice your skills, and be involved in a very realistic type of drill. If you are not a CERT graduate, maybe you want to know a little bit more of our program, maybe get some service hours for school, maybe just see what we do. You are also invited to attend this drill, but instead as a volunteer victim. And that way, it's very exciting. It's actually very fun. We give you an identity to act out, and we want you to be as realistic as possible. We want to kind of stress our CERTs a little bit because we want this to be a realistic drill. So please come out. The drill is October 26th. That is a Saturday, the last Saturday of this month. We start at 9 a.m. and you will be fed breakfast and lunch, light breakfast and lunch. And please do come out. It's a lot of fun being a volunteer victim. Wear clothing you do not mind being damaged, destroyed, or overall throwing out at the end of the drill. Very, very important. I lost a favorite shirt once. And if you have any questions, please contact me at the email right there. But again, a pretty easy link to follow. You can go to the registration and find out more about the drill. And it is certexercise2019.eventbrite.com. So thank you so much and appreciate your time.
Thank you, Michael. That was a great presentation. We appreciate it so much. I've been a city CERT volunteer for many years, and I can say it is fun, all the trainings, and I would highly recommend it to anybody who's considering it. It's, you know, during the last wildfire here, you had all your city CERT volunteers handing out the facial mask. And we felt like we were contributing a minute little part of trying to be a part of the team to safeguard everybody. So you can pick and choose, like you said, whatever interests you to become involved in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you're interested in being a part of a shelter, we have a partnership mm-hmm. with Red Cross. You can learn how do you work in a shelter? Do you want to be there in a call center? Do you want to be out in the field? You really can pick and choose what training interests you and then be a part of that specific response.
Excellent. Do we have any questions from the commissioners? Yes.
Great presentation, Michael. When I was a youth many moons ago, When I was a youth many moons ago, I actually was a volunteer where they did triage on me. Are you looking for youth also to participate? Because our scout troops probably could benefit by giving volunteer hours doing this.
We are talking to the Boy Scout troops right now. I do have a contact and looking to reach out. But yeah, we're accepting in any and all volunteers for the drill.
I remember.
I have a question. So my mom was one of the first participants in the Carpenter Assert program, and it actually came up not too long ago because she has her backpack and she's super proud of being trained. But I asked her, I'm like, are you really ready? Like, do you feel something happened now that you would be able to go out there? And she said, I think I need to go back and get like a refresher course because of, you know, just not putting it into practice. What does somebody do, or do they need to get recertified after a certain amount of time that passes?
So there isn't actually it's basically up to, we have common meetings, regularly scheduled meetings, and sometimes it comes up. Yeah, we just kind of want like a day refresher or something like that. Mm-hmm. Once you graduate, you've graduated. You don't have to go through the program again, but it is also in a program manager's best interest to do a refresher every now and then. So they are available, and when they are released and scheduled, it would be both on me and then other program managers to let their volunteers know that it's available. So when it does, you know, I will also be reaching out to our core group.
I have two more questions. Do you provide childcare for, you know, if their evening Monday classes, is there childcare or any accommodations for parents who would like to participate?
So at least that's a tough question for me. I have not seen it here with our current classes in the last year. That has been a concern that's been raised before. There's so many times as well at the Lemon Festival that people, oh yeah, I really want to go, as they're pushing two children like side by side. And so it is difficult to manage that, but we would like to explore some sort of option to give people the opportunity to attend.
And my last question is, how do you recruit Spanish speaking participants? What is your way of attracting a Spanish-speaking group?
So the best way to answer that question is actually, it's very grassroots. It comes from a lot of conversations, and a lot of it is the partnership with a very similar group called Listos. Listos meaning ready in Spanish. And they took actually a very similar curriculum to CERT and instead condensed it from 20 to 24 hours to 8 hours. And it was very much preparedness in the home. But we also do have such a strong partnership with Listos that is in Santa Barbara County that at the end of their Listos course, we say, hey, here's almost like the next step up. This is CERT. This is Spanish CERT. If you would like to learn more, you are welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Michael. And maybe you'll see several of us at your nice event coming up at the end of the month.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, we are going to move on to B, Consent Calendar. B1 is approval of the Parks and Recreation Commission revised meeting minutes of May 1st, 2019.
I'm sorry, if I can just interject for a moment. The May 1st, 2019 minutes have been placed on today's agenda. This particular set of minutes was placed on the previous agenda of August 7, 2019 for approval. However, at the August meeting, a quorum did not exist for approval of the May 1st, 2019 minutes. For this particular set of minutes, we would request an abstention from Commissioner Williams and Commissioner Ramos since they were not present at the May 1st meeting.
Yes, thank you. All righty. So with that good guidance, may I have a motion to approve the minutes? Thank you, Commissioner Peterson. Do I have a second? Thank you, Commissioner. And so all
Madam
those in-
Chair,
yes.
We need a verbal motion and a verbal second.
Thank you.
Thank you. I will motion.
Oh, okay.
To approve the minutes.
I second.
How's that? Okay, good. Okay, so all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any negatives?
No.
Okay, so the
abstentions?
Oh, yes. Well, the two you mentioned, of course. Yes.
And I would also like to mention that the city clerk has not had an opportunity to review the minutes for the Park and Recreation Commission meeting for August 7th. These minutes will be placed on the December 4th Parks and Recreation Commission agenda.
Sounds good. Okay, thank you very much. Moving on to C, discussion action item. And we're going to move to C1, the community garden conceptual plan. And we're going to have Mrs. Plummer, our Parks and Recreation Manager, lead us through this.
Thank you, Commissioner Chair West and members of the commission. I'm excited tonight to talk to you about our community garden. As you know, we've reported to you in the past meetings that we applied for Proposition 68 funding for this garden, and with that, we had to quickly come up with a conceptual plan. The plan that you're about to see has been developed based on information received in the 2015 Recreation Needs Assessment, as well as the five different outreach meetings that we held related to the Proposition 68 process. So, as mentioned in the staff report, the location was identified during the recreation needs assessment process. One, that we needed to have a community garden, and second, that the location would be held at Armitos Park. As mentioned, the five community meetings helped us define what the community was asking for. Our next steps in the process is to release a request for proposals for final design and construction documents. And once our grant application awards have been announced, modifications may be necessary to the design. I'd also like to point out to you that you have received public comment on this item, and that is listed in your packet. If we do have to make significant modifications to the design because of the grant award information, then we would bring those comments back to the commission prior to going out to bid. If they're minor modifications, then we would just proceed. So here is our conceptual design, and you can see on the legend there's quite a few numbers, so I'm going to take you through them one at a time just to kind of point out a few things. What I wanted to share with you is that we currently at this location have a playground there, and we will be utilizing the existing playground. It's in very good condition, and just replacing the surface. We're also expanding that playground area to show you some stuff. So let me see if I can figure this out here. Where's my little red dot? It's not working now. Oh, is it there? I saw it.
It's not very bright.
Oh, well, I'll ask you to follow along. Let me click on here. This. Okay. So now I have a little red dot here. So let me grab my existing playground. Number one, this is the existing playground. This shape where the concrete is existing. There is the section right here where we are showing some swings. That section currently is grass. We will be removing that grass and that irrigation to save on water use that can be applied towards the garden. The second one is the new play area. Just as I said, the whole area will receive new playground surfacing. That will be the pour-in-place surfacing that we're using in our other playgrounds. The bike path, this is an approved project. This we were trying to build with the Johnny D. Wallace project. This bike path will connect behind Kellogg Ranch to the Johnny D. Wallace bike path. This project has already been approved by council, and we just need to get that built. We're building it together with this project so that we can just disturb this area and those residents once. The ADA walkway, this walkway currently exists. We're going to be extending the walkway a little bit further to chase the grade a little bit so that it meets ADA compliance. As well, we've added another ADA walkway coming off of the bike path for any residents that are in wheelchairs or have any mobility issues. These are all garden plots. They're different sizes. I don't have the dimensions right now in front of me, but they're all about 2 feet high off the ground. They're all raised garden plots, and they vary in size by width and length. There's a kit that we're modeling these after. We don't know specifically what we will specify in the process until we get a little further down in the construction documents. But you can see that we've accommodated various sizes of plots, all of them raised to allow accessibility around each of the plots and to keep clear pathways for all of our users. The trellis area right here is currently designed to be partially shaded and provide some physical shade structure with some filtered light. Under here, there are some tables and some benches in this whole area to allow for classes and workshops and demonstrations. So that's what that center area has been designed for. There are seat walls, number 7, right along here, just for some additional seating. Signage is number 8, which is right next to the seat walls. And then there are some existing trees in place, some we definitely didn't want to disturb. And then there's clearly addition of some additional trees. There's a buffer zone of trees that we've added. We have residents right here, and we have residents on this backside too. So we've added some additional trees as buffer. We are, I need to mention, in the process of working with Fish and Wildlife for a stream bed alteration agreement, and there could be some additional need to add some additional trees along here that would be native trees to the area. The other idea that has come up is if there's enough space and enough water is to add additional trees that are either pollinators or attract certain bird species or that would bear fruit so that it's available to the people outside the fence. This area in here that shapes like a flower petal, these are pollinator perennials. Try not to say that 10 times fast there. Those are designed to attract natural pollinators to the area. And we added that to the design after speaking with a representative from Fairview Gardens and the Master Garden Program, as well as some other community residents that are heavy into gardening and have been touring additional community gardens throughout the Central Coast. Number 12 is just some decorative paving. Number 13, you can see we have 3 tool sheds located here. In the grant, we had included supplying these tool sheds so that residents don't need to bring all of their things with them. And it's our hope that once supplied, they will stay in the sheds. But we have included all the supplies that would be needed for somebody to come and garden pretty much anything. There are workbenches. Number 14 is workbenches right here along this shed if you needed to do some plantings or something small. There's number 15, our compost bins. Those are located on right here on this side of the property. In speaking again with other gardeners, with the Master Gardener Program, as well as with other community gardens up and down the Central Coast, there's only really a need for one composting area. The property line, this is pretty much the property line we have going on here. So the property line cuts through this, across the sidewalk right here. The city has a current easement on with this property to access that walkway. So we have the property line coming along here, coming down here, and then it's on this side of the bike path. One of the things that we added to this feature, which we're real excited about, is right in this area, we added some sand play elements. As you're well aware, sand has a very valuable play element for creative play for young children. The unfortunate part for us as designers and creators of public spaces is that sand also attracts critters overnight. It attracts it makes it an easy ground for people to bury unsightly things that we wouldn't want our children finding in sand. So we want to see more sand, but we want to see sand in a controlled environment. So this opportunity and this conceptual design does allow for sandboxes. We've worked to come up with 2 or 3 different designs, one being an ADA accessible one with wheelchairs, so it's a raised sand area, another one being a large traditional sandbox. The intent would be that These would be opened up by the user if they choose to use it. And then the person that we will be working with to shut down and do a walkthrough every night to make sure that hoses are shut off, tools are put away, no one's taking up camp inside there or anything else, and everybody's out, that person will also close up those sandboxes to keep critters from visiting those during the night. We've added swings to this area. There are not currently swings over here, and the swings at Johnny D. Wallace Park just down the bike path are heavily used. So we wanted to make sure we had some additional opportunities for those residents. In these houses right here, these are owned by the Housing Authority, and we do have quite a few of those have young children in them currently. One of the things that came out during the process of the application public meetings was the parents were asking if we would consider fencing the entire area, not just the garden. So this design does have a fence that goes all the way around the garden, and it actually extends all the way around the playground. The intent and the request came so that parents would feel more comfortable about letting their children near the sandboxes, near the playground, if they were working in a garden that was close by. So we did that, and that also allows us to have those sandboxes once again and have those in that area. So this is all closed off with a fence. Number 20 is some of the existing benches that are currently in that facility. We have number 21 is a relocated bench, and then 22 is bike racks. We do recognize that parking is a challenge in Old Town, so we are encouraging pedestrian and bicycle forms of transportation. And one of the ways we're able to do that is by having the multiple tool sheds that are supplied with all of the tools that a resident would use. So a few things that, since this design's come up, we actually had this at the opening today of the new field, and a lot of people were really excited about the thought of the community garden coming up. So I just wanted to address a few of those things that did come up. We will not have any lights in this area. This will be treated just like any of our other parks. It'll be open from 8 a.m. until sunset. So there's no need to really have any lights in that area. We also try not to put lights near a creek at all for environmental concerns. So that's another reason that we did not look at lights in this area. So this is just treated like any other park. The other question that came up was, how is this going to be operated? What are the cost of the plots? Those things have not yet been determined. I'm not asking you to talk about the operations on this tonight. I'm asking you to tell me if you like this, if we need to add to it, if we need to take something out, if we need to have some further considerations. Again, this conceptual design on a very base cost estimate was what we applied for the grant for. So if we are not successful for the grant, we will have to kind of come back to the drawing board. We won't be duplicating our efforts because it will take a little bit to put the RFP out, choose a designer, sit down, start to get established. We're already in October. So by the time the architect that we choose and the designer is starting their work on this and putting together all their information is about the time we're going to hear from the grant. So we will not be duplicating efforts. I wanted to make sure that you're aware of that. We'll be able to get that person started as soon as we know how much money we have. So we will be talking as a group later when we decide, when I'm able to bring forward a recommendation on what kind of process we're going to use for managing this garden. So there's a few different things we're exploring. I also want to share with you, as partners in the application process, again, we talked to the Master Gardeners, we've talked to Fairview Gardens, we've spoken to a few residents on more than one occasion, we're really excited. So there's lots of interest in this park, and today, actually hearing everybody get real excited about this and kind of seeing that the bike path will go all the way through, it's very, very exciting. So with that, and if you have any questions or if you'd like to discuss it, and I'm available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Plummer. I tell you, today is just such an exciting day. Mm-hmm. Coming from the multi-purpose field opening and remembering the opening of Johnny D. Wallace, and now this. I remember a couple of the first community meetings that I went to with the both of you, and here we are now with this gorgeous design in front of us. It's mm-hmm. just really thrilling. And, you know, almost everything I recall the people suggesting to you, every single one you incorporated all of those suggestions. And today at the field, I was there when people were going over and looking at the great display that you had. And people were so excited. So congratulations to both of you. It was wonderful. So I noticed that Commissioner Riscotti had something he'd like to share.
Yes, I have two questions. First one has to do with dogs. This will be a no-dog area?
That has not yet been determined, but it's definitely something we can take a look at because of the nature of this particular park.
I don't think it's appropriate.
Park.
Yeah, particularly with children roaming around if their parents are occupied. The second question is, when people sign up for these boxes, whatever that cost or might be, will they be obligated to keep it up? And if they don't keep it up, will we as a city be able to terminate their contract for that?
So again, we're just looking at the design and not the process or the policies. We will be addressing all of those processes and policies at a later date. But in everything that we've researched so far, every community garden has an opportunity to list what happens if you do not maintain your site appropriately. So there is something, there are tools in place that and models in place that we can follow.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Commissioner Williams.
I do want to commend staff on a very exciting project that will be a terrific asset to our community. I do have several operational issues that I will not raise, but I do have, I think, three design questions. And I'll say what three they are and then go just a little bit into them. One is water and how water is going to be distributed and what the design for that is, and also some of the water functions that may or may not affect that. The second is trash cans, and we did get some very thoughtful comments from a community member, Jesse Alstadt, and I'm just looking at her design questions, and one was on trash cans, so that will be interesting to look at. And then the third is the fence. So the first one, with respect to water, I do not see on the design where the water is going to be distributed or how the water will be distributed, and think that that's an important design component. So I'll stop with that to begin with.
Sure. So I'll address water on two levels for you. So the water, number one, is with the current moratorium in place, there's still you're only allowed to use historic water credits. That's one of the reasons that we are taking out the turf in one area and adding playground features. So water will be used based on the historic water credits. Once our designer is further down the line and figuring out calculations of all the different, what all the different plantings will require, we'll actually get a feedback on what the water consumption will be, and we will take that to the Goleta Water District for their approval, and then if we have to make modifications based on the water consumption, we'll do so. So regarding the specific locations as to where the spigots would go, that again will come in the final design. This is just the conceptual, what this will look like. Your comment about trash cans, if I can jump ahead, I 100% agree. So we'll add, definitely make sure that they add strategic trash can locations for ease of maintenance as well as ease of the user. And the water spigots will be identified when we get to a site plan.
Just a follow-up on that and then the fence question. But do you anticipate having just like a few water spigots with long hoses or lots of water spigots near people's, how are people going to use the water? Are they going to have their, you know, water cans or water hoses, and, you know, where and what kind of design. Again, I know we all want to make sure they don't drip and everything else, but it, even at this stage, it seems like that might be addressed about where they'll be and what the distribution system will be.
Sure. So again, when the designer gets a little bit further down, we will be taking a look to see what the current piping is, to see how the best way to kind of lay that out. And it is our understanding that we would at least have 4 different hose locations at a minimum. And then if we needed to use, we did include watering cans inside the sheds for use, and people like to use their own watering cans. But we were anticipating hoses. But we also understand that when you check out a hose, you have to be responsible enough to check the hose back. So we don't want to have something that's too long that could create a trippable hazard. So we'll be working through that with the designer. If there are some suggestions, I'm happy to hear some suggestions as to where we would put hoses, but it would be at least a minimum of 4. And then we'll go and rely on our designer to tell us that the standard for community gardens of this size is X. And then if we like what X equals, great. If we want to increase it, we would do so at that time.
Okay. One final water thing and then the fence. And so with respect to water, if the moratorium is not lifted for this plot or this area, what percentage of the plots we're seeing there do you think would actually be possible?
I don't know. I honestly don't have that answer because I have not yet received a calculation from even some of the different, even on the conceptual design, the calculation. It's a deeper look to see what that would be. So we are just doing what we can to reduce some water use. And in looking at replanting some of the plants, we'll be looking to see if any of them could be considered drought tolerant so that we don't have to worry about running irrigation to those. So we'll be looking at every way we can save water. And if we needed to reduce the number of plots, we would do so. And one of the recommendations actually from one of the participants at the at some of the meetings was to, when we come out of the chute, maybe we start by only adding half of the plots and then grow it as the program grows. So we'll take a look at all of those elements, especially in light of the moratorium, and see what we can do.
Okay. So the fence, I think we'd all benefit by description. How tall can you see through it, et cetera, since that's going to be a huge feature here. But I do want to, before, because that's my last question, just commend you for having the native plant components of this, the petals. And I know that also was an issue that Jesse Allstadt brought up. So that is terrific. But anyway, fence, if you could give the commission a better understanding of how tall, how transparent, what it might look like, because it will be huge.
Sure. So when we were designing the conceptual design and talking with the architect that did this design, we were talking about a fence that is not climbable. It's supposed to be a very good defensive fence to keep people out if you don't want them in there. So, and again, a lot's going to come back to funding. So what we've looked at right now is a 6 to 8 foot fence that would be wire. It's a wired fence, a metal fence. You can't get clippers in to cut the wires. And it's laid out in a way that you just can't do that. They use these fences around a lot of car dealerships in the LA area. They use them a lot around some security areas. You can see in well, a lot better actually than you can see through a chain link fence, but it's very defensive towards your property you're trying to protect. So again, once we receive funding, we may be looking at maybe a chain link fence. I was at the National Recreation and Park Association conference last week. I spoke to every fence vendor there, asked them to send me some samples and designs, and told them what we're looking at. We're looking at not allowing people to climb into it, and we're looking at protecting the assets of the community members that are spending their time and energies to grow a garden, and we are looking at something that's attractive. So we don't want to have a big wooden fence around the whole thing. We want it to be attractive, and we want to be able to see the creek still from inside the garden.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Your light is on this time. Excellent.
So my question is, and I don't know, I guess it's maybe more of a concern, is the sand area, Area 17. Will there be shade there? And the reason I ask is because it looks like an open space. Sand can get very hot, and if it's covered by something that's plastic or metal, it may be even hotter at times. So I'm wondering if there's any alternative, any other ideas, maybe not having a sand table, but just having it open dirt area where kids could just dig in the dirt or make mud pies. I don't know. But at the same time, my biggest concern is the shade. If it's going to be a stationary play area, what are the plans for that?
So this design is not, again, it was a conceptual design. The actual specifications for what we were looking at does have a shade structure on it. So because we're the handicap one does not, just because putting the shade structure over would then cause other issues and obstacles. But the other one did have, it was a larger space. It did have a shade structure on it and actually like a seating area around the edges so the parents could sit on it. So again, when we get down to a final design, then that final design will have, you'll be able to see everything that would be specified in that, just like we did for Johnny D. Wallace. You get to see all the playground equipment and everything specifically. Again, here you just see swings. You don't know what kind of swings they are. They're just swings. So you'll see all those details when we get into a final design. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Ramos.
So in regards to the playground, is it just going to be swings there, or will there be other playground items, or is it just swings?
So there's currently a lovely playground there, and that playground is in great shape. So that playground will have that inspected by an inspector, and if it needs any touch-ups or anything, we'll take care of that as well. But there's no need to replace the existing equipment, and then we'll add to that with the addition of swings. We asked the kids during those Proposition 68 outreach meetings what they wanted, and some of them wanted some crazy fun stuff that would be awesome, but they didn't fit. But the next greatest thing was the swings, and so a lot of them said they wanted swings, and we could make swings fit.
Thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Riscotti.
I do have a question following up on the playground. Will there be an ADA compliance swing?
With all of our playground designs, we are trying to make sure we have a swing for all users, like the one we just installed at Johnny D. Wallace. Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, without any further questions or discussion, we will now move to C2, which is the selection of meeting dates for 2020. And Chair, Mrs. Plummer's going to share that with
Chair
us.
Chair West, before we move off of the design, I wanted to make sure we didn't have any public comments or anything to make sure that we gather that. And then we will need a motion to move forward as with this, with commission comments
sure.
as well.
I'm so sorry. I don't have any form filled out here.
You can talk and then we'll need you to fill out a form and give us the
vote. Okay.
Hello, my name is Diane Galvan. And I live in Nolita. First, let me say this is just beautiful. Conceptually, it's beautiful. I do have a question particularly about the center in the middle of the petals. I see, if I understand correctly, the trellis area that's shaded, but then the benches, number 7, the seat walls, those are in the sun. So I'm wondering if conceptually, if you can describe how this would work for having demonstrations, if people would be sitting in the sun, and about the area in the middle, how that would work.
So again, for the conceptual design, they did just a partial trellis because there was concern of having too much shade that could be shading into some of the plots. But if it's the commission's recommendation to have all the demonstration and seated areas with some filtered shade, we can make that modification. Mm-hmm.
I think generally for demonstrations, it's more comfortable when you have shade than sitting in the sun for any, you know, and then making sure at least the seating is in the shade. And then secondly, to to echo Commissioner Rascotti's comment, I think that in a food garden for food safety, dogs are not appropriate. Thank you. It's beautiful so far.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Didn't you attend one of our here? Yes, I remember some of the things you said, and I think several of those were incorporated by Mrs. Plummer. Nice to see you. Okay, so now going back to what we need to do to have you proceed is, do you need that in a motion that we are righty? So would anyone like to make a motion?
And I make that motion to proceed with incorporation of the minor details that were brought up during this discussion.
Okay, do we, and Commissioner Peterson?
I will second that motion.
Great. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, it is unanimous, and we are excited to please have you go forward with this. Now we will move to C2, selection of meeting dates for 2020.
Thank you, Chair West. So our next report is choosing our dates for 2020, which is right around the corner, actually. So you'll see that we reference our ordinance that established our commission, and each year we establish the 6 meetings that we have. We've been able to move those meetings to be consistently every other month on the first Wednesday of the month to make life easy for our residents so that they know when to expect to look for our meetings, as well as you for your calendars. So I have broken down the meetings for 2020 listed below, and unless there is any objection to any of those meeting dates, then we will move forward.
Do we have any comments from the commission? I love how you give this to us many months in advance. I also love how it's consistent with the first Wednesday. So it looks like everybody must be pleased with that. So we have no comments.
So we will need a motion to accept those as those meetings.
Oh, and Commissioner Peterson
I
was right on it.
I motion to accept. I second. Oh,
awesome.
Oh, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I think we're good. So there you go. For 2020, we have our dates. Thank you for doing that for us in such a timely manner. And now we will move to D, project updates.
Okay, as we do every meeting, I just try to give you a little touch base on what's been happening. So we're going to go ahead and start with the improvements to the athletic field, the Goleta Valley Community Center, which had its official opening today with a ribbon cutting ceremony. It was lovely. We had a great turnout. I just want to thank everybody that was involved with the project, and especially the teams at the Goleta Valley Community Center and the Boys and Girls Club and the Goleta Unified School District for all of their support and help during the process. Those are all of our neighbors surrounding that field. If you haven't been out there, I encourage you to do so. And if you have the chance to see it before it looks like this, then you can really have a great appreciation for this space. Anybody that's looking at reserving this space or wanting to do anything that is an organized activity would do so by contacting the Goleta Valley Community Center. They'll be handling all the reservations for this space. This is a public park and is open from 8 a.m. until dusk each night. And just wanted to share with you that this project was delivered on time and under budget. Proposition 68 updates, just a reminder that we submitted applications and we're anticipating those results towards the end of the year, at the beginning of the first year. We submitted them for the Armitos Park for the community garden, as well as the improvements to Johnny D. Wallace to include the splash pad. There's also a couple other funding projects that we are still watching. Proposition 68 is also offering a per capita funding, which is a minimum award amount of about $200,000 for each community one time. The draft guidelines for this funding, because there is still a process, is currently released for review and comment, and they're stating that applications should be due shortly after the first of the year. So we're watching that. There's also a regional parks program grant. Those draft guidelines have also been released for review and comment, and those applications with workshops will be available in 2020. So we're watching what's happening. We're staying in touch, and we're talking a lot to our neighboring agencies too to see if there's collaborative efforts that we want to look at, or just to see how we can help each other out. the Parks Master Plan. We've done lots of talks. We've received our revision back, and we are looking at sending this draft to council. Tentatively, it's scheduled for the first meeting in November. As you know, our council meetings moved to nighttime only, so we are currently scheduled for November 5th. And once that plan has been adopted by council, the staff will return to the commission to establish a recommendation of the priorities that are listed in there to carry forward those recommendations to city council. Miscellaneous parks improvements. I wanted to share with you kind of where we're at with those are all the playgrounds. The data collection for the Winchester 2 Park has been completed, and we are expecting to see those reports by mid-October. This includes all the hydrology surveys and all the other surveys that we did. As you may recall, we had some residents sharing some concerns about the drainage at that location. So we're really looking forward to see what those results are. The next steps in this process is the evaluation of that data. We will quickly turn that evaluation down to determine how much work needs to be done, if any additional work at this location, and then we'll be releasing the bid documents for site preparation, installation, surfacing after council approval in early November. Some miscellaneous updates for you tonight. We have the request for proposals we'll be releasing in October for the development of design and construction documents for both the community garden, as you talked about tonight, as well as the splash pad and those minor Johnny D. Wallace park improvements. The modifications to the city special event application process we're working on right now to tighten up our special event application process. It's a multi-department effort because our special events in our community impact multiple departments across the city. We have the policy development for the community garden operations. Those things we're working towards, and we will be working on that and bringing that to you. The Halloween parking restrictions are coming up from Halloween on October 31st through Sunday, November 3rd, 2019. So this is in collaboration with UCSB, and this is for the areas that are close to UCSB, that anybody that lives in those areas will receive parking permits, and it's parking by permit only on the streets. Residents are invited to still and do not require a permit to park in their own driveways. So I want to make that clear that if you are parking in your own driveway, you do not need a permit. And before I turn it over for some quick comments from our director, I wanted to also share with you that the California Park and Recreation Society annual state conference will be coming up in March. If you have an interest in attending this conference, please let me know and I can share specific details. If you'll shoot me an email this week and let me know, then I can share all those details with you regarding dates. And this is a great conference, and we do budget for some of our commissioners to attend. And I just came back from the national one, and my head's filled with great information and lots of great ideas and great partnerships and collaboration opportunities. So without further ado, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Vito Adamaitis. He just wanted to share a couple comments with the commission.
First off, looking forward to seeing the commission again at our next meeting on December 4th. So hold that date on your calendar. It was also great to celebrate with the community today the ribbon cutting for the multi-use field behind the community center. It was great to hear a lot of kids just really super excited, and a lot of folks that were just excited about having that space now available to be utilized. And lastly, we will have, as part of our annual year-end report to the commission, kind of a recap of all the items that have been brought to the commission, as well as some project updates to end the year. I know some of you don't believe that we're getting close to the end of the year, but it's gone by very quickly. So what we do is we do a recap, and this is really for many of our new commissioners, a recap of the entire year of all the commission meetings that we've had, the presentations, the items that we've covered, and I think we've received good feedback from the commission that they like to have that as a recap. So with that, please have a great evening and look forward to seeing you on December 4th.
I would, Commissioner Williams.
Thank you. Just a couple questions.
I'm going to slip in one, since you did put policy development for community garden operations and several commissioners mentioned policy. I really hope, and I agree with the community commentator, I hope that the garden is organic for the protection of the users and the environment there. So I really hope that is incorporated into the policy guidance. So no pesticides, herbicides, or rodenticides. A quick question with respect to the Proposition 68 updates. The per capita funding, what kind of things could that $200,000 potentially be used for?
So the guidelines are, right now, as I said, they're out for a review and comments, but those can be used for playground renovation. They can be used to develop a field. To $200,000, unfortunately, doesn't go very far, but it's very helpful for some spaces that just need a little bit of help. So we will be looking at that. What you cannot do is, if we had a project that was budgeted at $400,000 right now, we cannot say we'll use $200,000 of their money and then only $200,000 of our money. We would have to use $400,000 of our money and then $200,000 of their money. So you cannot supplant the funding. So we don't have a project yet established for that $200,000, but I have lots of great ideas. So we'll be bringing those ideas as soon as we are ready to go forward with the application process.
Fabulous. And last question with respect to the Regional Parks Program, could Lake Los Caneros potentially qualify for monies associated with that? Should we get them?
I would have to take a look at those draft guidelines a little further. I've been focusing on the per capita because that application process will be sooner. Mm-hmm. There is a public hearing scheduled, I believe, for the Regional Park Program on November 5th in Santa Barbara. And so anybody that has comments on those draft guidelines can share those comments at that public hearing.
Could you send us information about the public hearing?
I sure can.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Before we get to E, future agenda items, I would again just like to thank you both for all you do. I know you live, eat, breathe, and sleep taking care of the Park Rec Commission. So thank you very, very much. And so we're going to move to E, future agenda items.
Madam Chair, Director Adamaitis actually addressed some of those future agenda mm-hmm. items we talked about so we actually kind of merged it into with our project update. So I apologize for any confusion.
I love mergers, so that's cool. So then we're at F, adjournment. So thank everyone very much.
I move to adjourn.
Oh, okay. To
second.
Second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
There we go. Thank you.
I love the East. I love the West, the North and South. They're both the best, but I only go there as a guest, 'cause I love being here with you. I love the sea, I love the shore, I love the rocks, and what is more, with you there, they would never be a bore, 'cause I love being here with you. Singing in the shower, laughing by the hour, life is such a breezy game. I love all kinds of weather, as long as we're together. I love to hear